One Man's Family, winner of 44 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, the forgotten birthday. It's 10:55 on a cool May evening in Seacliff, San Francisco, as Lieutenant Hank Murray, home from night duty at Letterman Hospital, quietly lets himself in the front way and discovers Father Barber alone in the library, standing with his back to the dying fire on the hearth.
Hi there, Grandfather.
Yes.
How's the voice?
Seems to be all right, thanks to your formula. Come in, Hank. I'm waiting up for your mother and Daniel.
Oh, back so soon? That's kind of a short trip.
If you've ever visited Walter Lawrence, you'd understand it. Yes, they telephoned your grandmother from Nevada somewhere, said they'd be home around 10. What time is it?
Oh, 10:56.
Henry, are they here?
Grandmother? Not yet, just me. Just I. Hope I didn't wake you.
Oh, no, I haven't been in bed. I'll be down in a minute, Hank.
Listen, somebody on the porch.
Huh?
Oh, hi, Pink.
Yeah, good evening, Pinky.
What's the matter?
I'm okay. Chilly out.
How was Greta?
Fine, she's okay. Excuse me, I'll hang up my coat.
Well, good evening, Pinky.
Hello, Grandmother.
Are you feeling all right?
Oh, sure.
Well, Hank, you put in a long day.
Well, they tell me a young doctor can learn twice as much in 16 hours as he learns in 8.
If you folks don't mind, I'm going right up to bed. I've had it.
Don't want to wait up for your mother and Daniel?
Hey, they coming back already?
24 hours with Walter Lawrence is par for the course.
Henry?
Yes?
They telephoned about noon, Pinky, to say they were on the way. Margaret's fine, the new baby is adorable, and there wasn't much they could do there.
Yes.
Stop it, Henry. And besides, Daniel doesn't want to be away from the store too long.
Yeah, well, tell Mom to knock on my door. I'll probably be awake. In fact, I know I'll be awake.
Did you tell Greta your big news, Pinky?
Sure.
Wasn't she pleased?
Sure. Well, good night.
Night,
good night, Pinky.
Me. You heard, did you, Hank, that your grandmother's cousin, Mr. Consider Martin, is once again dangling the inheritance in front of Pinky? The carrot for the donkey?
No, Henry. Consider had a change of heart, Hank. He wrote Jack a very sweet letter. He's deeply fond of Pinky.
Well, Pink doesn't seem very cheerful about it.
He was this morning. Listen. Oh, here they are. Yes, Hazel, Daniel.
Hello.
Oh, it's Paul.
Quite a reception committee.
Well, we're waiting for Daniel and Hazel. Come on in.
Hey, Paul, there's an airmail special for you from Teddy. It's there on the hall table. It came about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
I have it, Dad. Well, Dan and Hazel didn't stay very long.
Well, Henry, if you say it again, I'll... He insists on making poor Walter the villain.
Poor Walter? Stop talking now. Let Paul read his letter.
Say, if you folks will pardon me, I'll shed this uniform.
There's a snack in the kitchen, Hank.
Oh, thanks. I may be back.
Yeah, good night, Hank. They tell me Margaret's new baby is to be called Paul Jack Lawrence. Must have named the child while Walter was out for a walk.
Is Teddy all right, Paul?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, she's fine.
Mm-hmm. Anything new about General Roderick Stone?
Hmm? No, nothing new, Dad. She sends her love to both of you.
She does? In so many words.
On second thought, I'll read you what she says.
Yeah.
But I adore Mother Barber. And you might tell Father Barber that, in retrospect, I am fonder of him than I thought I was that last morning in Seacliff. Give them both my love.
Yeah. You see?
Yeah. Well, I'm going up, too. Good night.
Night, Paul.
Yeah, good night. Well, what do you suppose Teddy meant by that?
Seems clear to me. Distance lends enchantment, Henry. She's forgiven you for what you did.
I didn't do anything.
Oh.
If I like General Stone better than Harvey DeWitt Clinton, that's my privilege. I most certainly had a right to invite the general back here if I wanted to, but this is my home.
Well, I told Teddy to let her own heart guide her and pay no attention to what you were doing. Thank goodness she has a sense of humor, Henry, or she'd still be provoked with you.
Did you count those?
It's 11 o'clock. Oh, I'm going back upstairs and read in bed. Call me when they get here.
Yes, I'll sit around alone again. People don't stay.
They do when you're cheerful and mind your own business. Good night, Henry.
Yeah. My family is my business. Always was.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
You've been put in jail for a crime you didn't commit. They've thrown away the key. You haven't even been brought to trial. No one will listen to you. Year follows year. Your hair turns white. You're innocent. And you could have proved it. If only you had had a trial. Well, this has happened. Is happening in some countries. But it can't happen here in the United States for a very simple reason. A reason few people know of. A right. A freedom that belongs to every citizen under an amendment to the Constitution of the United States. The all-important Sixth. Let's look at these words of justice, carved in the conscience of the world by our founding fathers in 1789 during the First Congress. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Those few words, they're the reason justice must be done promptly. The innocent freed, the guilty brought to punishment. It is in your Bill of Rights, the Sixth Amendment. It is one of our freedoms.
It's 40 minutes later. Pinky, in robe and pajamas, comes back downstairs to the library. The fire on the hearth has gone out, and an elderly gentleman has fallen asleep in his chair.
Hey, Grandfather.
Daniel? Huh? Oh, Pinky. They still haven't come?
Not yet.
Yeah, what time is it?
20 of 12.
Yeah. Don't you worry. They'll be along. What are you doing up?
I can't sleep. Thought I'd see what was in the refrigerator.
Yeah, there's sliced chicken. I happen to know. And fresh homemade bread and applesauce.
Oh, that doesn't sound too terrible.
Yes. Come along. I can fix you a snack that'll knock you out. Pick him up, boy. Ah, there. Hot milk. Try that.
Ah, thanks, Grandfather.
Yes. And stop worrying. Your mother and Daniel have had a flat tire, some such thing.
I'm not worried. This isn't too late.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. Another customer. Come on out here, Hank. What do you have?
Pull up a chair, Hank.
Here, I'll slice some more chicken. Sit down there, my boy.
Greta sent a message to you.
Me?
Yeah. She said thanks for the birthday card.
Oh, got there in time, huh?
Yeah. She was kind of impressed that you remembered her birthday and I didn't.
When was her birthday, Pinky?
Today.
Oh?
Yeah. Her grandmother had a cake and presents for her and everything. That's why I went there to dinner. But the news about CZ, well, it knocked everything else out of my head. Got kind of embarrassing.
Drink your hot milk. Now then, here you are, Hank. That's yours.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's too bad, Pink. I hope she wasn't unhappy about it.
Well, it turned into a kind of a damp little festival. Not only because I forgot her birthday, but, well, she's not too hot about CZ and his dough. Oh, well, anyhow, it was nice of you to send the card, Hank. She made a big thing of it. Well...
Here, don't you want any more?
No, thanks, Grandfather. I'm going back up. Call me when Mom comes, will you? See you later.
Yes. There, you see, Hank.
Sir?
The long arm of Consider Martin reaches all the way from Hawaii. That diabolical old man plans to break up that engagement by hook or crook. But I shall keep out of this. When you're my age, you see so clearly the right thing to do, Hank. But trying to help is a thankless task, and people get provoked. More applesauce, my boy?
More of the barbers in just a moment. Living in a democracy the way we do, we give a great deal of latitude to the thought expressed in the words, let the punishment fit the crime. The fourth article of our Constitution, for example, states that a person who is charged with treason, felony, or any other crime, and who flees from justice into another state, shall, on demand of the governor of the state from which he fled, be returned to that state which has jurisdiction of the crime. That's what the supreme law of our land, the Constitution, says concerning those who try to evade the law by escaping to another state.
but even the Constitution considers the human element. That's why the 10th Amendment reads, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people." Because of this amendment, there have been many instances in which the governor of a state has refused to return a fugitive to another state for one of several reasons. It might be that there has been unreasonable delay in making the request for extradition, during which time the fugitive has proven himself a worthy citizen of the refuge state. Or the alleged offense may be unknown to the laws of the refuge state. Or insufficient evidence has been presented to establish the guilt of the fugitive. In addition, there is nothing in the Constitution which gives any state the right to issue a writ of mandamus. This is a writ which would in effect command the return of the fugitive. That's how your American Constitution works.
A few minutes later, Hank stands at the tall north windows in the studio, absently watching the night traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge, as Paul, in pajamas and slippers, comes from the bathroom.
Hank, did I hear the phone downstairs a minute ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Dan. There was a traffic pileup on a country road about 20 miles east of here. They're delayed, but okay. You going to bed, Uncle Paul?
Well, yes, if there's nothing better to do. Anything on your mind?
Well, no, not especially. Except...
Hmm?
Well, in the old days, whenever I got a girl, Pinky would move in and steal her. You remember that?
And now? You have plans, Hank?
Oh, no, no. I wouldn't move in on him even if I could. But Greta's a... Well, she's a special kind of a gal, Uncle Paul. And he'd better not take her for granted. You might convey this idea to him, if you can.
Yes. Yes. I'll see what I can do. Good night, Hank.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 35, Book 126, Report from Elko, Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 44 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.